Would you fear the Reaper if you knew when he was coming for you? Yeah, that's the topic of a new book from author Adam Silvera. He's the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, They Both Die at the End. His new one is a prequel entitled The First to Die at the End. And we're happy to have Adam with us. Adam, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to chat.
Well, man, the first book was not just a success, but They Both Die at the End really became a phenomenon. Were you a bit surprised by the incredible response?
I was very delightfully surprised. You know, there was an incredible sales surge that began in August 2020, and I had just assumed that we ended up on some nationwide summer reading list or something, and thought it would pass. And then, nope, it was the first week of a very long viral life for this book.
How much did your past experience of working in the publishing industry, you were a bookseller, you reviewed children's books, did that give you some insight into what young adult readers would be interested in?
Absolutely. You know, you pay attention to trends, but you don't write to them because trends move so quickly. But you try to, like, find the common thread that people are appreciating within every novel and across every trend. And, you know, but ultimately, I think that you just have to write the best story that you think you have in you, and the reader will find you, like, no matter where you're coming from.
Well, The First to Die at the End, out officially as of yesterday. We go back in time, I think 7 years from the first book. Why did a prequel interest you at this point?
You know, so it's a prequel to a novel called They Both Die at the End, and it's really hard to write a sequel to a book where the characters die at the end, unfortunately. So I always am trying to challenge myself in some way creatively, and I'd never done something that felt slightly historical. The book takes place in 2010, which actually does require a lot more research than I think some people anticipate, right? Like, I had to look up how much a MetroCard cost back then, which stores were available, if FaceTime was available yet, all these things that we don't think about and take for granted today. And I, you know, in this universe where an organization can call people and tell them when they are about to die, I wanted to see what the first day of that program looked like. So that was a really fun challenge.
Well, the whole concept of DeathCast that is central to both books is such a fascinating one. And I work with high school students, are primarily with freshmen, and but they ask a lot of questions at that time in life. But I have to think that the discussions that young people would have if they knew when their life would end are very different than the questions that someone older might ask.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's the gutting part about these novels, where it's like these are lives that are being lost far too soon, you know? And unfortunately, no one is immune to death. We are all going to die one day, and we can only hope that we live long, happy lives, but that is not necessarily what fate always has in store for us. So the idea of DeathCast being able to notify people before they are about to die, before they're caught off guard, before it's too late for them to do anything about it, it's given these characters an opportunity to live very full lives within a very limited window.
We're talking with Adam Silvera. His new book is The First to Die at the End, and we meet two wonderful characters, Valentino and Orion. They bond instantly, even though, well, safe to say they're both at very different places in their life.
Yeah, and I really love bringing, you know, opposites, attracting that whole thing, and these characters. It was so hard to find them in the creative process of it, but when I did, I fell for them both so hard, and that just made the writing of it so much more difficult because you know one is destined to die at the end. But you know, it's really about how much life gets lived before that happens.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful examination of the bonds of friendship as well.
Absolutely, and you know, and then from friendships to lovers, and you know, that's a romantic angle that I always love approaching a novel from.
And also the idea that a family doesn't have to be limited to the family you're born into.
No, you know, I have such incredible chosen families, as they're called, you know, friends who have been in my life, whether it's been since I was a kid or whether it's been in the past couple of years, you know, or a former roommate, whatever the case may be, where I am so protective of them more than I am with some people that are biologically related to me, you know, because we have just always been there for each other. And the beauty of this novel, too, is that here are two strangers who meet, and one discovers he's about to die, and the other decides to keep him company on this day so he's not alone and that he's able to get some assistance and leading the best life possible before it comes to an untimely end.
And you know, we're all guilty of this, and I suspect young people perhaps even more. We're always thinking about what's ahead, what's coming up, looking down the road, and this is such a powerful reminder of the importance and the value, the reward that you get from living in the moment.
Absolutely, and that's something that I had to get better at myself, you know, and I think writing these books has really forced me to live more boldly. Otherwise, I would feel like such a hypocrite for putting out this message to make, you know, the most out of your days. And then here I am just still kind of lagging behind. And, you know, I went jet skiing for the first time recently, which is something that would have terrified me years ago. But I'm just trying to live more adventurously so that I go to my deathbed with as few regrets as possible.
The setting is such an important part of the story. And it felt like to me that in many ways, New York itself is a character in the book.
You know, I have been writing novels since 2015 now, and this is my eighth novel. They all take place in New York City. I'm from New York. I'm born and raised in the South Bronx, and I just love writing about New York. It's such an expansive, beautiful city, and across all the boroughs, there are just so many different angles to look at it. And, you know, Manhattan just has such really cool things happening for it, and the Bronx has a really, you know, kind of unfair reputation. I think there's so much beauty that happens in that borough. But I love writing about New York.
And you mentioned it takes place in 2010 when the wounds of 9/11 were still very fresh. And there's a strong element of that with people who remember and people who had a direct connection to the events of that day.
Yeah, you know, one of the characters, Orion, he lost his parents in 9/11. And a lot of the feelings that he describes throughout that book are identical to how I was feeling that day. I didn't lose my parents, but my mom was in Manhattan randomly that day, even though she was a social worker in the South Bronx. She had a random meeting, and I just remember thinking, like, where is my mom? Is she coming to pick me up from school? And she ultimately did. And that's not the case for Orion, but in this novel, they're approaching the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, you know, when Ground Zero hadn't even been really revealed to the public yet and all the construction they were doing on it. So it's such an interesting time to go back and do some research on.
Well, of course, death looms large. It's right there in the title. And yet I found this book along with, it got kind of dusty in the room when I was reading it, but it also is, I think, it's a very hopeful book.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm so happy you say that because I think with the title, the title is really meant to grab your attention. And then from there on, it's not really a story about death. I think it is a story about life and who we want to be before we die and how we want to be remembered. And that is certainly true for the boy who receives the very first death cast call in this novel.
They're such great characters. You can't help but care about them and hope for the best for them. It's a wonderful book. The First to Die at the End, the newest from Adam Silvera. Adam, great to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us today.
You as well. Thank you so much. Really love this.